This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Welcome back all, and hello from Hanoi, Vietnam. Apologies for the... Okay, first off, apologies for the squeaky chair, and apologies for the slightly uninspiring background. I'm on a built-in table here. I've just noticed, I think folds up. But it's a built-in table, and I can't move the position of it, so... Sorry, I have to deal with a kitchen for the next couple of episodes. Thank you so much, everyone, for continuing to get in touch, sharing your thoughts and opinions. It's hugely appreciated. The best place to do so, comment section below. And if you have a longer story, maybe some pictures, please, please do email hi@chooseatdobbs.com. I'm so sorry that I don't get to reply to all of the comments, the emails. I honestly feel so bad that I don't, but I read all of them and I hugely appreciate it. So please do continue to share your opinions. This is all thanks to you that I can do this on a weekly basis. Let's start. I tell you what, just before I get into the first one, I'm just going off the cuff here a little bit. Something I found really interesting. I save all of the bikes of the week and other bikes that I have, and they're all stored on Facebook Marketplace. And the good thing about Facebook Marketplace, you can see which vehicles have sold. And over the past few weeks, I've done things like Triumph Rockets, BMW GSs, Suzuki Hayabusas, Kawasaki ZZR1400s, Honda CB1000s, yada, 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 yada. Do you know quite clearly which model of bike sells far faster and in far more numbers than any other one, just according to the ones I've saved on Facebook Marketplace? BMW GSs. They fly away. When someone puts them up for sale, almost guaranteed they will sell within 3 weeks from what I've seen here. They're all sold, every single one of them. Right, let's get down to it. First off, I love stuff like this. What to recommend for one's son? Freddie, my son knows that I watch Tuesday at Dobbs every week, and we both thought it would be a good idea to ask you what you thought, as although I have 30 years experience riding bikes, my choice might not be totally in tune with my 25-year-old son's. My son, Oran, got his A2 license about 3 years ago when he was studying at Strathclyde University up in Scotland to be an aeromechanical engineer. What a job. It was great to see him so happy about passing his test. So I traded, this is so nice of you, I traded my BMW R1250 GSA and I bought a 17 plate, that's 2017, 797 Ducati Monster for him, which was then restricted for his A2 license, and I got myself an 8-ball painted BMW R9T. He's since passed his A license test, and we've been all over Scotland on the bikes, covering 200 to 300 miles each day on our weekend runs. I've also got to say that as a father, it's great getting out there with him, and I'm probably even happier than he is. We're now planning to do, this is the important bit here, we're planning to do a 10 to 14 day European tour at some point this year, but the problem is my son has to relocate, or has had to relocate to Lincoln in England for work. I have already changed my bike to a Triumph Tiger Sport 1050 in preparation, but my son wants to keep his Ducati here in Scotland so he can come back every now and again by train and still enjoy the rides out we have in the summer months with friends, and his Ducati is probably the bike we'll go on tour with. So, Here's the point. He's now thinking that he could buy another bike around £2,000 to £2,500 for commuting to work and fun on the weekends, because taking the car takes him 50 minutes to travel 5 miles. So the criteria, it's got to be able to be good at commuting to work and some fun on the weekends. Maximum, absolute maximum price, £2,500. No cruisers, nothing with too big an engine as the insurance would be crippling, and nothing too small an engine either, as he may do some touring at the weekends. Now, my initial thoughts were the Honda VFR 800, as they're reliable and most seem to have luggage as well. And if not that, a BMW F800 ST, as they have luggage, and I believe it's a Rotax engine in them, so it should be reliable. Happy to hear your thoughts and recommendations, though. Colin and Oran. So I had to check the name. I've never heard Oran as a name. I love it. Colin and Oran. As soon as I read this, there's a bike that sprang to mind. I don't know why, but it was immediate. So you've got a £2,500 budget. Oran already has a Ducati Monster, so he has a good dynamic street bike. So I want to think of something completely different. It's still got to be good for commuting. It's still got to be light and agile. But I think it should offer something very, very different to the Ducati Monster. And Oran's a young guy, 25 years old. What I think is one of the coolest genres of motorbike at the moment are the mid-size, dual sport, go anywhere, take on the world kind of bikes. I think they are bang on the most in-fashion bikes of the moment. I think they're just, there's something about them. The slightly retro, almost like 1980s, 1990s styling, just really cool looking, agile, nimble, dual sports bike, purposeful looking bikes, but comfy enough so you can commute on a daily basis. Right, Honda VFR 800, I'm going to discount that. It's a good bike, but it's a bit too safe. Oran's a young guy. I think he's going to want something to excite more, something that appeals to the heart more than common sense. So the VFR is good, but the Monster covers the road riding. Something different here. Colin, I think you're on the right path here with, who's going to guess this? Rotax-engined BMW, but not the BMW F800 ST. I think, again, that's not quite exciting enough for a new rider, someone who's going to want excitement levels through the roof to get excited every time they get on a bike. I'm going one further than that. BMW, it's a bike I've mentioned before, and I think it's going to be perfect. F650 GS Dakar. Take a look at it. This bike is the kind of bike you just look at and you're excited by it. And it fills a completely new gap for Oran that he hasn't experienced before with his Ducati Monster. I think this is perfect. Just having two such different bikes is just the perfect balance in my eyes. These are tough dual sport bikes with a bias towards the off-roading. That's what you get with the Dakar variant. You get all of that cool color combo and all of those nice stickers on the bike, plus you get the higher suspension and a much more purposeful off-roading machine, but still perfectly good for commuting. Made from 2000 to 2007, 650cc, Rotax engine, 50 horsepower. Take a listen to this weight. Sorry, I didn't check if it's dry or wet, but 175 kilo weight. That's impressive. Single cylinder Rotax, as I said, it's simple, it's reliable, but it's fuel injected. So it's that beautiful sweet spot where you've got just enough of the modern tech and all of the reliability as well, but you haven't gone too far with any of the tech that's just not needed. This was actually quite budget friendly. It was, this was a budget friendly bike in BMW's lineup when it came out. And Oran and Colin, you'll be over the moon when I tell you I've found you the perfect bike. 2005 model BMW Dakar. It's just the name, isn't it? Any bike that has Dakar in the name, done, sold. Take a look at this one. Private seller, Facebook Marketplace, 51,000 miles on the clock. And for one of these, that's totally fine. But look at the garage here. That is an immaculate garage. Someone who really cares about their vehicles. And then look at the bike. It's perfect, isn't it? 650 Dakar, which I've owned for just over a year with the intention of using it in the wetter months so I can ride all year round, but I just don't have the time to use it. Long MOT, and it comes with the original BMW aluminium panniers. I didn't even see that bit. If you're looking at a bike like this, forget about the higher mileage. You want to buy from an owner like this who's got a garage as immaculate as that, with a bike as well presented as that. High exhaust, spoked wheels, semi-knobbly tyres, that high front mudguard, and the crash sump guard at the bottom. Let me know, please, Colin, if you go for that. I think that's perfect. Moving on. Actually, before I move on to the next one, I'm going to do the same thing again. I'm going to jump in here with something else. Because so often, when I'm reading through your comments and stuff like that, I end up going off on a massive tangent. And sometimes that tangent takes me about an hour, and I realise I've just wasted an hour preparing the podcast, and this is just ridiculous what I'm looking at. But we've been talking a bit recently about how some bikes, some vehicles in general, are getting way too complicated, and they're disposable items. They're items with a very definite shelf life, like a TV, like a fridge, things like that. I went onto the World of Triumph website. This is where everyone who owns a Triumph motorbike gets their parts. They're all legit, genuine Triumph parts. I buy a lot of stuff off here. It's a really good website. I found this really interesting about how much easier it is to fix simple vehicles. Simpler vehicles are just made to be repaired, made to carry on being used for years and decades, whereas the more complicated stuff makes it infinitely harder. I'll give you some examples here. This is fascinating. Sometimes I overuse the word fascinating, but I think it is. So this is a Triumph 1200 GT Explorer headlamp. LEDs, all the bells and whistles, all that stuff. If your lights break on your Triumph Tiger 1200 GT Explorer, you can't just buy a bulb. It's the entire unit that you have to buy. Cost of an entire unit, bear in mind that you can't buy any bulbs, it's all built in, £947. The days are gone for a lot of vehicles now, and you can just go to the garage, the petrol station, and just buy a bulb. My bulb goes, great, I'll buy another one. No, if you've got the Triumph Tiger, you have to pay £950. If we compare that, I wanted to do like with like in terms of years. Compare that to a Triumph Bonneville T120. Look at all of the different parts on that headlamp. You can change the part that's broken or faulty. You don't have to change the entire unit. It's so much more user-friendly. The most expensive part, and it's still a lot of money, but the most expensive part is £197, but the rest of the parts are £2, £7, £57, and chances are you'll only need to replace one tiny element of this if anything goes wrong. It's much more future-proof. I'll do two more here. This is really interesting. I'm going to show you the difference between a brand new Triumph Bonneville T120 and the...
This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Carburetted Bonneville that they made all the way up until 2005, I think it was. So, I have clicked on World of Triumph electrical equipment for each of the bikes. This is comparing exactly like with like. 2026 Triumph Bonneville compared to 2005 Triumph Bonneville. Look at all the electrics here on the brand new Bonneville. Look at all of those sensors and relays and yada 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 type of stuff. It fills up the whole page. Now look at a 21-year-old Bonneville's Electricals. Are you ready? That is absolutely crazy when you look at it side by side. I could list off all of these things like lean, sensitive, ABS, yada, 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 but it's really apparent, isn't it, when you see them side by side like that, the difference now in the technology. Right, I'll move on from my tangent. A 125cc bike, but what next? Freddie, I just wanted to get your insight on a couple of different bikes. Here's my situation. I've been riding around on my little AJS Cadwell 125 since the spring of 2022. As I live in London, it's proved more than enough for what I need it for. However, in October 2024, I finally managed to get the money together to get my full A license. And as you can imagine, I've spent the entire year and change on the hunt for something with more power. Yes, I know the feeling. My first instinct was to go for an Interceptor 650 on the used market. Okay, remember a few of these points here to give a full picture about what we're looking for. So, Interceptor 650 on the used market. This slight obsession brought me to a Triumph dealership where they had one for £3,600 with 10,000 miles on the clock. When I arrived, I was a little bit let down as despite being a 2023, it was showing its age a bit cosmetically. I didn't ride the bike, but the weight of the thing made me feel a bit of trepidation considering the vast amount of riding I will be doing for the time being in and around London, particularly commuting in the very centre a couple of times a week. I'll just jump in there. It is a good point. People often wonder, why are there, for example, the Triumph Bonnevilles so much more money than the Interceptors? The level of fit and finish on the Triumph Bonneville is better than the Interceptor. The Interceptor's good, but the Bonnevilles is excellent. You won't get that 1 to 2 year level of visible aging on the Bonnevilles like you do on the Interceptors. Carrying on. I did, however, see, while I was in the Triumph dealership, some brand new Triumph Scrambler 400Xs and also the brand new XCs for sale in the dealership, and those really spoke to me more in person than they did in the photos. Throwing my leg over those, it just felt a lot more comfortable and natural when compared to the Royal Enfield. Eventually, within a couple of years, my girlfriend and I intend to leave London entirely, and I do want to do longer trips with her on my bike. So to cut a long story short, I'm really conflicted as to what bike I need to be hunting for, be it the Enfield, the Triumph, or perhaps a third suggestion entirely. Budget is a concern, of course, so I wonder which is the best bike for your money. Perfect situation. I know this very well. If you think the Interceptor is a bit top heavy, you're absolutely right to rule it out. And you're right in pointing that out. It is a top heavy bike. You want a bike at around about £3,600. You want a bike that's not intimidating and easy to ride. You're going to be doing two up, possibly on some longer rides, maybe even touring. So Ed, I'm going to discount the 400cc Triumphs because they won't be what you're looking for if you want to start doing longer rides two up. And I'm going to save you having to sell one of those 400cc Triumphs in a year's time when you move out of London. Skip that step, go straight onto a bike that can be future-proofed for you. And Ed, I have the exact bike. The second you said this again, I knew. That's the one for Ed. I think the perfect bike for you will be the Triumph Speed Twin 900. This is a bike that was launched in 2019, 198 kilos, 55 horsepower from the first generation from 2019. That beautiful 900cc engine, exactly the same as the Bonnevilles. Timeless looks, superb build quality, proven reliability, the finest level of fit and finish. And I've ridden one of these first gen bikes. They are superb, sublime machines. Ed, you cannot go wrong with this. And also, the fact that it's 900cc, don't let that put you off. The center of gravity, the weight distribution, is so much lower on the Speed Twin 900 compared to the Interceptor. The seat height is also really low on it. So you'll jump on that compared to the Interceptor. You will not believe how much easier it is to ride a Speed Twin 900 than it is an interceptor. But Ed, you may be thinking right now, okay, but you're living in dreamland, Freddie. Come on, this bike came out in 2019. There is no way I can afford a 6-7-year-old Triumph Speed Twin for around the same price as an Interceptor. Ed, get your pen and paper ready. Check this out. I found this exact one just for you. Facebook Marketplace, saved searches. 2019, first year of manufacture, Triumph Street Twin. In red color, 35,000 miles on the clock, three owners. It's perfect, isn't it? Look at it. It's a great size with a really comfortable seat for a pillion, those classic Bonneville looks that will age like a fine wine over the years. And it's got a full service history at Triumph, then serviced by my independent after that. Unfortunately, not getting used, so it's better it goes to a new home. I think that's, again, Ed, I think I'm on a roll this week. I think that's the bike for you. You will not regret it for a second getting one of these. They are phenomenally good bikes that will tick every single box. Put panniers on it and you can tour the world. Strip the panniers off and you've got the most perfect commuter that's light and nimble. Bang on perfect bike. Ed, let me know if you go for it. And I move on now, bike of the week. This is a bike that I've mentioned, I think briefly before, but I think I've never gone into it too much because I didn't think these bikes were readily available, but in the correct country, they are. This is from Captain Chunk. Freddie, what about the diesel? A lot of you are going to know this already, just when I say the word diesel. What about the diesel Enfield Bullet for bike of the week? You owe it to the subscribers, Captain Chunk. Yes, Captain Chunk, bike of the week, thanks to you. Thank you for bringing this back to my attention. For those of you who are thinking, what on earth are you talking about, a diesel Royal Enfield? Well, take a listen to this. This is from Royal Enfield's website, royalenfield.com. Royal Enfield India produces the world's first and only mass manufactured diesel motorbike. Known as the Enfield Diesel, it uses a highly fuel-efficient 325cc, shall I say the horsepower? I'm not reading this out wrong. 325cc, 6 horsepower. That is utterly appalling. Power unit that's installed in the standard bullet rolling chassis, also known as the Taurus, so you could Google Enfield Taurus. Launched in 1993, key features here, listen to this, extremely high fuel efficiency of around, and this isn't a typo, 200 miles per gallon. That translates to 70 to 86 kilometers per litre. That's twice the economy of, no, that's 4 times the economy of my Bonneville. That's double the economy even of something like a Honda Dax or Honda Cub, double the economy of those. Target market. This is from Google AI. This gives a really good example about what this bike's all about. Target market is the Indian market specifically. I think this was only ever sold in India, especially in the rural areas. And really interestingly, it was made a lot for the Indian Army for doing border patrols due to the phenomenal fuel economy. So you can imagine the Indian soldiers riding up and down the border on diesel-powered Royal Enfield. Discontinuation, just wrapping it up here. Production ended around about 2000 to 2001 as diesel motorcycles became less popular and pollution norms tightened. So it was killed off because it was hopeless trying to meet emissions standards with a diesel motorbike. These are now rare, but actually these weren't made in limited numbers. It was a genuine mass-produced bike. I found out online that the best place, weirdly, to try and find these diesel-powered bikes, or maybe not weirdly, is the rural areas of India. So if you want one of these bikes, you're going to have to do a road trip to India, and very possibly you're going to have to go to the middle of nowhere in India. And these are the kind of bikes that are just going to be tucked up in someone's garage, collecting dust over the past decade or so, and someone will have to push it out, take off some rugs and boxes and things like that to unearth one of these bikes. But I'm delighted to say they're not insanely difficult to find. So I typed in this bike. I mean, if I put it like this, actually, India has such a giant population. On the one website I found, bikesforsale.in, there are only actually 15 of them. So they're probably quite rare, to be fair. But look at this. Here it is. In India, this one is for sale with 80,000 kilometers on the clock. That's about 50,000 miles. Just one owner from new. And the price, I'll change it into UK equivalent. The price is £827. £827. And look at it. It's so weird. It's clearly a Royal Enfield Bullet. It's got the same tank, the lovely mudguards, that beautiful front headlamp. But the engine is so weird, seeing an engine like this. You do a double take and you wonder, what is the deal with this bike? Top speed, I think, is 65 kilometers an hour, so about 40 miles an hour, which is, of course, utterly appalling from that 6-horsepower engine. But it's built for purpose. It's built to just cover ground by sipping the smallest amount of fuel that's almost humanly possible. In a weird way, it looks quite good. Maybe that's just because I know how unique a thing it is. There you go. If you want to combine a trip to India with a proper talking point of a bike that you're almost guaranteed no one will ever have seen outside of India, go and try and pick up a diesel-powered Royal Enfield Bullet. And I'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much, everyone, for watching. Really hope you enjoyed the episode. From Vietnam, I'll see you soon.